We jump into careers. We think things like this, boy, with all the strength and might that I have and all the competencies and skills that I have, I can, if I just do those things, then everything will go well with me. This is the voice of the world speaking here. We jump into faith, even spirituality. We say things like this, boy, if I just change my habits or if I clean things up, then everything will start falling in place. Do you see the danger with this? It's jumping without a voice, guiding and directing us. And that's what we need. Because if we don't have that voice guiding and directing, we are like a blind man running down a track, not really knowing the direction and where we should go. The Holy Spirit is our gift to call us, to guide us. It's right there in His very name, by the way. The name for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, we may have talked about it just a couple weeks ago in our worship service, but it's worth bearing out what it exactly means. The word for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete. That's not a first and last name. It's one word. But you can separate those two words into two meanings. Para, it's a Greek preposition. Para means to come alongside with. Do you need someone to come alongside with you? We do. Clete. That means, in the Greek, that's kaleo, that means to call out. That's an encourager. We don't ever jump into things as Christians, whether it be our career, our relationships, or our faith, without knowing that there's that voice off in the distance that calls us, that guides us to where we should land in safe pasture, in safe sand pits, however you want to describe it. Lex did a second thing that helped him to be successful. Lex had a friend to pick him up when he made mistakes and failed. Lex did really well. He went to the World Championships. This is a true story in the 1980s, 1990s, right in there. I'm not sure the exact year. But when Lex went, he had this friend that was with him that was the voice that he could trust. His friend set him up about 100 feet away from the sand pit. The friend went to the back of the sand pit, and he started calling out, "Fly, fly, fly to Lex." There were lots of fans in the stadium, and he kind of got confused about the voice that he was hearing, and he started running with wild passion, untamed passion and desire to set a record. And off he went, but he was just a little off. And he ran in a straight line, but again, he was just a little off. When he got to the whiteboard to jump, he hit it. And the worst possible thing happened to Lex. He crashed. Not in the sand, but on concrete. Yeah, true story. Embarrassed, uniform torn, bearing all, bruised, pretty much dejected, his life's dreams gone down the pit, there was Lex. Lex had a friend. His friend came, gave him a word of encouragement, took him behind the stadium, gave him a new uniform so that he wouldn't bear everything, bound his wound. That friend then took him 100 feet, 100 feet behind the sand pit. And the friend said this, "We're going to do it again. The last jump is what counts," is what he said. Lex got in his position. The friend went to the back of the sand pit, did it again. "Fly, fly, fly," he said. Lex took off. He had the number of steps memorized. That's how he did this. 16 steps to the whiteboard. 16 steps. He hit it, launched, went 21 feet into the air. Lex won the world championship in the world. He got the record after a crazy crash, after great disappointment. But what made it work, you see, was having a friend, was willing to try again, to attempt again, and to have that voice encourage him to do it again. My friends, that's the message of the book of Acts. This book in the Bible that happens right after the Gospels. See, it's misinterpreted by a lot of Christians even. A lot of people think that the book of Acts is a story of victory and triumph, unabandoned success. Now, for certain, there's great success in the book of Acts. Here they are. For the very first time, the gospel reaches a region outside of Judea and Jerusalem. That's awesome. Never had that happen before. That's right there in Acts. For the very first time, non-Jews believed in the Messiah. That had never happened before, basically. For the very first time, you begin to see strategy and teamwork and togetherness. In Acts chapter 2, amazing, they gather and share everything. These Christians. My friends, Acts has a lot of disruption and crashes and mistakes and errors. Let me point a few out to you. Read the book from that perspective. You're going to see a lot of mistakes in this book. Mistakes by meaning crashes. Things didn't go the way maybe we would write them to be.